So when you're trying to come up with a message that, you know, I don't preach too much, just occasionally here and there, when you're trying to come up with a message, God speaks to me often, all the time. And so when I'm trying to be obedient to God and try to listen to God, sometimes you question, like, is this a message for me, myself, and it's only for something that I need to gather from God? Or is it a message that you're supposed to be sharing with other people? And so that's part of what was going on this week. This message has been building for a long time, I think. And so I was wondering, I was like, which avenue? Because in this message, I could have went in multiple different avenues with it. But after listening to the prayers and what you guys were just talking about, I'm definitely confirmed that the path that God, I was trying to listen to God, is the right path. And it's because of what you guys just said. You confirmed the message today. You actually spoke the message today. And so what I'm going to do is just reconfirm to you that you've heard the message from God. And it's pretty amazing. And it starts with Ruth, who isn't in here right now, but her daughter, right? That there's a lady that's, you know, a young lady that's struggling, and she's got health issues. And yeah, you know, the concern is with her finding the Lord, right? And how do we do that? And so we're gonna talk about that a little bit. Glenn talking about being more sensitive, right? He says we got to be more sensitive. We got to know when to step in and when not to step in, right? We got to know when we got to go that little extra trip or not do that extra trip, right? So there's a sensitivity. Sylvia talking about the fellow she ran into, right? She was sensitive. She knew that there's something there. And again, she's saying, put somebody in this person's path to minister to this person, right? And then Lainey talking about different things. Steve's prayer was perfect for the setup. The song about being changed, okay? And so every time we talk about God and what God wants from us, it should be in the vein of changing in a way that He wants us to change, right? That's the whole point. So a lot of things are going on in the world, and what you just heard was a smidgen of people hurting, right? And I was thinking, I'm like, it's just so heartbreaking, right, to hear what's going on in the world. You know, you look at the Vegas issues, you look at the hurricanes, it seems like one tragedy after another tragedy, right? And it's just killing us. And then we got local people, we have Gary's situation with his son, and it's heart-wrenching, you know, and it hurts, and it's tough. And so God brought me down this path, and today's message is, scars have purpose. Scars have purpose. And when I say scars, I'm talking about emotional, physical, and spiritual scars. And we all have them. And some of them are very obvious. And some of them are not so obvious, and they're hidden. But we all have them. Some are caused by our own doings, because we feel we have free will. God gave us free will, and we make decisions. And some of those decisions aren't too good, like they were saying in that song, Changed, right? He made bad decisions along the way. And because we made bad decisions, there was a consequence to bad decisions sometimes. And sometimes these scars are caused by other people doing things to us that we didn't ask for. We didn't put in our way. We didn't go out of our way to get this done to us. But they hurt, and they're scars. And in either case, God has allowed these things to happen to us, right? Because really, God, if He wanted to, and He does do this, He intervenes sometimes so that we don't have to go through things sometimes, right? But at other times, He allows us to go through it. We don't like it. It doesn't feel good. But He allows us to go through it. And He is a sovereign God. And at that moment, for some reason, He chose to step away and let us go through that. And we can see Him doing that through history. If we look at the Bible, we can see that going through history, right? I mean, the whole book of Job is God stepping away, right? So if we look at Job and we go to Job 1:8, and on there it says, "Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless, upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." In this moment, God's talking to Satan, right? And Satan's saying, listen, I don't think people really like you as much as you think they like you. I don't think they're going to follow you if they go through troubled times. And yet, and so God says to him, oh yeah, well, I got this guy who's incredible. He's blameless. He's awesome. He loves me. And I'm going to let you do whatever you want to him. Wow. That's pretty scary, isn't it? I mean, I hate the book of Job because of that reason. I mean, it scares the heck out of me, really. But God stepped away and He allowed things to go on with Job, right? I mean, he lost everything. Everything, right? He went through hell on earth. But there was a purpose for this. Why, you know, I want to kind of make this interactive. Why would God do that to Job? What was the purpose of this whole story that's in the Bible? I mean, it's in the Bible, so it's going to mean something, right? So what's the purpose? I mean, there's multiple purposes, really. What's the purpose that somebody thinks of with the book of Job?
Trust.
Trust?
Trust God. Trust
God. Right.
Fire and whatever it takes
right.
To get our faith.
Right. So faith being built up, right? Trust, faith being built up.
You need to trust God when you do it.
Right. Yeah. That's a good purpose, right, for that story, right? How about in Job's life connecting with other people? Who thinks of anything there? Like, what did that demonstrate to other people, the things he went through? Anybody have any ideas on that?
Well, his friends thought they knew what was going on, and they thought Job had done something against God, and, you know, it just...
So there was an assumption made by that.
Don't judge people because you feel in the heart. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you're trying to help our friends, we're actually piling on more trouble on them, mm-hmm. which is what they were doing.
Right. Right, so they were piling on more stuff. There was a judgment made on them, right? And so by Job going through this, what, using that as a framework, what did Job demonstrate to those people?
He trusted God no matter what.
He trusted God no matter what.
They questioned him.
Right.
And God responded.
And God responded.
Who are you to question me?
Right.
Who formed you and done all these things? Did you form the stars?
Mm-hmm.
And that's for all of us.
That's for all of us.
Written down for all of us.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So Job was an example to other people, right? All the people around him got to see him. He was suffering, right? And then not only that, he got blamed for doing something wrong. That's why he was suffering. When he didn't, right? He did nothing at that point, right? So he's going through this stuff, and he's an example to others, right? This is how I'm gonna keep trusting God, right? It's a battle of wills, right? How about to Satan? What was that? What was the purpose of that? I mean, there was a purpose to Satan, right?
To show him.
To show him what?
That God is real. And that this man pledged his life to the Lord.
Right. So that Job pledged his life to the Lord, and even though you're going to attack him and pound him and take everything away from him, in the end, he's still going to be mine. Right? Right. There's purpose. Right? There was purpose. Right? And he persevered, right? So people got to see him persevere, right? We see Lainey persevering, right? Through this stuff, right? That's real life. Real life, right? If we go and we look at David, right? David had emotional scars all over the place, caused a lot by himself. Really, when you think about it, right? He brought a lot of garbage into his own life by his decisions, right? They weren't very godly decisions, that's for sure. So there's David. He's got his issues, right? And he struggles. And so what does he do during his struggles? What's the big thing that he does during his struggles?
You're talking about King David now?
Yeah, I'm talking about David.
Turn to God finally.
Mm-hmm.
It may take a while, but yeah.
What did he do though? What did
confessed
he do?
His sins.
He what?
Confessed.
He confessed his sins. How?
By communing with God.
Yeah. And he wrote them down, mm-hmm. right? The book of Psalms, right? Most of the book of Psalms, right? He was writing them down. He was singing Psalms, right? Singing from his heart, right? And he was struggling. And so what's the purpose of his struggle? Some of his struggle. What's one of the purposes? So he goes and he writes the book of Psalms. What's the purpose there?
To open our eyes, to turn us.
To open whose eyes?
Our
eyes. So 2,000 plus years later, there's an influence of his struggles on our lives. Right?
Yes.
In the book of Psalms. His struggles had purpose. His scars had purpose. There was a struggle there. And by reading, and if you're hurting, you're going through some tough times, you read the book of Psalms, and there is a demonstration of how to look to God more. How to cry out to God and say, listen, I'm a real person. I'm struggling. Right? I'm struggling. I need help. I'm crying out to you. And even like in the, and I think it's what, Psalm 13, right? When he thinks that God stepped away from him, like God is no longer with him. By the end of Psalm 13, which is very short, I think, right? It's probably like 8 verses or whatever. By the end, he's like, but I still trust you. I still love you. Right? So even though when he feels like God has left him, and how many times have we felt like that over our lifetime? That God isn't listening to us. That we're hurting and he needs to listen to us. And then we have God, then we have by the end, it's like, okay, I trust you, God, and even though I don't know, I gotta trust you. Right? So there's a purpose, right? So David had purpose through his suffering. And we can look through all kinds of Bible stories like that. We can talk about Joseph. We can talk about, we could go through all kinds of them. There's a lot of them. But anyways, basically all showing that scars have purpose, right? So if we go to, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 12:7 through 10. And we're going to see another type of purpose here. And this is Paul, right? So here we are, Paul's writing to the Corinthians. And in this moment, you see a realness to Paul's life. Okay, so he's talking about because of his extraordinary revelations, right? It says, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, right? So God did something to Sully. You know, he changed him, right? And he gave him extraordinary power. He gave him wisdom. He opened his eyes. That's true for all of us, right? And he became, he could have went down many different paths, right? And God knows us inside and out, right? So he's looking at him and he's saying, and then he gives Paul a revelation about himself. He could have become conceited. He could have been super prideful. He could have looked down on people, right? And so what does God do? So therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, or to keep me humble, is another way you could look at it, right? To keep me humble. Don't let it go to my head, okay? I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. So God allows this to happen, right? Not only that, but gave it to him. And why would he do that? Because he doesn't want him to get too stuck on himself. Because he knows he's going to be ineffective if he gets too stuck on himself. Have we seen any preachers do that over our lifetime? Right? I mean, you watch TV, there's preachers out there, sometimes they get a little too high on themselves. And it causes more problems. It doesn't definitely draw people to Christianity because they're too high on themselves, right? But Paul was super important. I mean, can you imagine the Bible without any of Paul's writings? I mean, the gospel would be there. But there was purpose to his writings too, right? Three times I pleaded with the Lord, take it away from me. So did Paul like that? Was Paul pleased that thank you, God, you're making me stay humble. And you've given me this thorn in my side. Doesn't seem too happy about it, right? So three times he says, God, please, this is killing me. Take it away. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Boy, that's some powerful words, huh? You think scars have purpose? Well, they have purpose. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. So now Paul's saying, I'm going to tell everybody about my weaknesses, right? I'm going to boast about it. Why? Because it shows God's strength through him. And show my perfect, made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Right? So if he goes out and he shows his weakness, right? God's going to give him more power, more influence, more ability to change people's lives. And that's what this message is about. Changing people's lives. Helping others. Being able to reach them. Somebody doesn't believe in Christ. How do we reach them? We can't hit them over the head with the Bible. That's what you've been doing wrong, Rich. You can't hit them over the head with the Bible. We've got to be real That's how you change people. You got to show them. You got to show them your thorn, right? You got to show them your thorn, and then God's going to make that more powerful. It's going to have an impact.
Right?
Yes.
He's teaching us not to rely on ourselves, but totally rely on Him.
And that is right.
Over and over and over.
And over and over again.
He keeps you close to Him.
That's right. So always relying on Him. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults. Any insults ever come to us as Christians? Have we seen that ever? In hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Right? Scars have purpose. Be encouraged. Nobody wants scars. Right? Nobody wants to be hurting. But God is using it. He is using your scars. But that's only if you allow Him to use your scars. This whole thing started with the scripture that I mentioned last week in here. Anybody look up the scripture that I said last week?
Wasn't it about
Doubting Thomas? Yeah. And that's what I'm thinking. That's what everybody's thinking, right? It's about Doubting Thomas. And God totally took me a different way. And I kept saying, why am I stuck on this? Why is God continually saying this, look at this more. Think about this. Look at it more than what just Down Thomas Avenue, right? We've all heard about Down Thomas, right? She's saying, well, what does this have to do with scars, right? Well, it didn't at first, to me. But the more that God kept piecing things together, the more that God kept opening my eyes and saying, keep focusing on the scripture. Keep focusing on the scripture. Something's going to open up here. Something's going to open up here. So that's what happened. So for months, this scripture has been stuck in my head. John 20, 24 through 29. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." You think if 11 out of 12 people said, "We saw the Lord," that might have an influence, right? And he's the 12th person who didn't see it, but it doesn't, right? "We've seen the Lord." But he, meaning Thomas, said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hands in his side, I will not believe." Needed proof. Needed proof. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. Which means that he just appeared, right? I mean, the doors were locked. How'd he get in there? Right? And there he is. There's the Lord. And he said to him, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord, my God." So I'm a why man. I always ask why. In my head, it's always going on. Why? My mind goes 100 miles an hour with whys. Why did this happen? Why is that in there? Why is this important? Why is it going this way? Why didn't it go that way? Why does something one person says, views something one way, and then the other person views it totally the opposite way. Mm-hmm. Why? That's how my brain works, is why all the time. Drives me nuts. It's there for a purpose, though. So in this, I'm wondering why. Why, if Jesus is resurrected, supposedly, you're supposed to have a resurrected body, right? That means that you're whole, right? I mean, that's how I picture it, you know, and I'm hoping that that's the way it is. I mean, I don't want to carry my back pain and up went forever after. You know, I'm hoping that I'm resurrected. I'm whole again. I'm secure in myself. Right? I'm physically well. Right? So why would God, Jesus, stand there with scars on his hands and an open sore still on his side? Right? Why would that happen? You know? What is that meant for? Right? So we know Thomas is doubting, right? And he's the sovereign God, so he can do anything he wants. Right? But why would that be inserted into this story? Why couldn't he just say, he appeared, and then through some other act, some miracle, showed Thomas that he was who he was?
Because those scars are important.
Those scars have purpose. So even Jesus' scars are important, right?
They're the most important.
And most of us, if we don't see it, we have a hard time believing it, right? So we can relate to Thomas, can't we? We all say, oh, Thomas, he's terrible. He's a terrible guy. How could he doubt? He was with Jesus. He knew Jesus. If Jesus appeared, you'd think he would know if it's Jesus, right? He spent 3 years with him. If I spent 3 years with somebody, I would think I would know what they look like. Right? They wouldn't have to prove to me that they are who they are. I could see them. You'd think just appearing would be enough. Right? But his scars has purpose. He knew Thomas was doubting. Right?
Yeah. I think God also knew that generations down the line, people would doubt because they didn't see him.
Right.
And so he was using Thomas to help portray a message to future generations.
Absolutely. So again, 2,000 years later, that purpose is still coming out. Right? Still coming out. It's amazing, isn't it? Think about how well this book is written. How much information is in there. And how much we take for granted. Right, if God doesn't just keep pounding me with that same scripture over and over again, I mean, for me it's easy. I'm so busy and crazy, and life is crazy. I can just throw it aside and say, I'm not thinking about that right now. I don't have time.
What it makes me think of is Thomas wanted confirmation, and we are always looking for confirmation
that we're
on the right track.
Right.
So that was another reason.
Confirmation. And they want to know that they're on the right track. And we want to be comforted, right? Mm-hmm. So what do you think the whole world needs right now?
Jesus.
Right. And so how do we show them Jesus?
By being an example, right?
Do you think your scars have purpose for the world out there?
Yes. They're a testimony.
Right. And so remember last week, Dan Demers gave a testimony. And I said, remember this. And go and look at this scripture. Because it's going to go along with what the message is. And his testimony had purpose. His testimony had purpose. For us, in this church, it lifted us up. He talked about a struggle and how he's overcome it through God. Right? So how does this apply to us? How does all this apply to us? Yeah, go ahead.
Now one of the key things that hits me about Job is It answers the formula that man brings in his mind. If you're a good boy or girl, good things will happen to you.
Right.
If you're a bad boy or girl, bad things happen to you.
Right. Not true.
It just ain't so.
Just ain't so.
And Joel proves it. Jesus proves it. Our lives prove it to people that in spite of bad things happening, I still believe.
Right. That's exactly. In spite of bad things happening, we still believe them. Right? Despite our scars, we still believe them. So years ago, Captain Crowns came out with a song, and it's called Stained Glass Masquerade. And the chorus says this: are we happy plastic people under shining plastic steeples with walls around our weakness? Walls around our weakness. Okay? So nobody can see it. Nobody can see these, our weaknesses. We're putting walls around ourselves. Okay? And smiles to hide our pain. How are you doing? I'm doing good today. I'm doing good today. Right? And you're hurting. But if the invitation's open to every heart that has been broken, maybe then we close the curtain on our stained glass masquerade. A lot of times we put on a show, is basically what that's saying.
Yes.
Right? We tend to put on shows. We're Christians, we put on shows. We don't want people to see our weaknesses. We do this in church, and we even do this more so out of church. We don't want people to see us as broken, weak, especially living in the Northeast. Something about the Northeast. Boy, are we stubborn, huh? Northeast. We like to be looked at as strong and independent. I can do everything myself. I don't need help. I don't want help. And our pride gets in the way. It really does. Our fears, because we're so prideful, because we want to be looked at a certain way, we're scared of what other people are thinking of us. And that puts a big roadblock in things. Somebody had a hand up.
Yeah, it just reminds me of myself. I was a cabinet maker, and I owned my own business, so I could do anything. Well, now because of my problems, I can't. But I won't admit that I can't until I fell off the ladder a couple weeks ago.
Right.
You know, and then that made me realize I can't do it.
Mm.
But it's hard for especially a man to say he can't do it.
It's hard, right? And I think that that's why God's bringing this message forward. It's hard. It's hard to let your guard down, right? As Christians, we feel like if we tell others that we're struggling emotionally, spiritually, physically, we can be looked at as lacking of faith. Does that ever happen? Right? Oh, if you just had more faith, you'd be all set. But what if they told Job that? You see, right, exactly. They did, right. And so, exactly. So what's the message there, right? And Job is sitting there going, wait a second, I am faithful. I'm about as faithful as they come. And yet, all this stuff is still happening. And yet, that same scenario happens today. And we still fall for it. We still let that hold us back. That causes us to be silenced. And God has been speaking to my heart to say it's time to change. Change. Right? It's time to change. Our scars weren't meant to be hidden and stuffed deep down inside us. What happens when you stuff your scars down inside you?
They hurt more.
They fester. They get worse. Right? Other problems start to show up because of the initial problem. Right? There's people out there that 50 years ago, somebody did something to them and they're still thinking about that today. And then they wonder why they have an ulcer in their stomach.
Stop drinking the poison and expecting the others to die.
Right?
Hurting people hurt people.
Hurting people hurt people. Right? Yeah. So not only is it going to be a benefit to others, it's going to be a benefit to yourself. Right? By letting your guard down. Showing your true self. What's internal? What's your heart? What's your heart? And they also prove who we are. Right? Just as the scars on Jesus' hands proved who he was. Our scars prove who we are. The good things that happened in our life have shaped us. The bad things in our life have shaped us. We have a zigzag road of our life, right? We're all over the place. We're all over the place. But somehow we went from here and we're up here. We're here now. Today. You know what I mean? So along the way, all those influences had an impact on who Lainey is today, who Ronnie is today, who Joe is today, who Sylvia is today, and the rest of you. Right?
Can I just read a scripture?
Sure.
In Psalm 138, it says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand you save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. And your love, O Lord, endures forever.
Yes.
And do not abandon the works of your hands." It's his work that's in our lives.
It's his work.
Right?
It's in our
lives. And we don't let go of all that hurt. Satan is laughing because he's winning. Because he still has that control of us not letting go.
That's right.
And trusting in God.
Right. He's got this influence over us still. Right?
Yeah.
Well, let him influence us way too much. And so what do we see? Because we're letting him influence us so much, what are we seeing in the world? We're seeing a mess. A mess is what we're seeing, right? Believers need to see our scars because that builds us up. That helps us to encourage us. That helps us to go out there a little bit more boldly, right? But more importantly, the doubters need to see our scars. Because if we go out there and we may pretend everything's perfect in our lives, and then we can't relate to them.
Right.
Because not everything's perfect in their lives. So how are you supposed to relate to them? And it's a false show. It's not true. Does anybody in here not have scars? Has everybody's life just gone in a nice, perfect way? I don't know too many people like that. And I'm not talking about going out and whining about all your problems to somebody. That doesn't help anybody either, right? I mean, so then here comes the sensitivity part, right? You got to know when and how to open that door, right? You're not just going to go out there and bombard people and say, "Listen, this is, I got all these problems, I can't get over them, and I'm just going to tell you them all, and then I'm going to say, I still trust God." And then they're going to say, "Well, I don't want to talk to that person. All they do is talk about their problems all the time." Right? That doesn't influence anybody. But there's doors that open, and that's what we're talking about, right, Ruth? I mean, you ask for it. Let a door open. Same thing that Sylvia asked for. Let a door open. Right? And so if we pray for your door to open, maybe that door is us. Maybe somebody else is praying that same prayer for somebody else, and the door opens for us, right? And somebody comes to you and says, "You know what? I'm addicted to alcohol." Or the signs are there that they're addicted to alcohol. And maybe alcohol has been an issue in your past. And maybe you've overcome that. Then maybe you should be saying that same thing to them. Like, "Listen, I understand you. I know where you're coming from. Maybe it's not alcohol. Maybe you're addicted to something else. I was addicted to smoking. I was addicted to pornography. I was addicted to, you fill in the blank, whatever. I had issues. Maybe I wasn't addicted. Maybe I just liked it. But anyways, the door opens. And do you allow yourself, do you drop your pride? Do you drop your pride that says that I look this way to somebody and allow them to see that rawness of you? And then by seeing that rawness, then you can say, this is what I've done to overcome it. This is how I handled it. God was in my life. God came into my life right at the right moment, right at the right time. I had friends that believed in God and they all prayed for me. So that's where it's coming from. That's the heart that's going to touch people. That's the emotion that ties into people's other emotions. When other people, when I was going through my anxiety stuff, which was a terrible year for me, the biggest problem I had was I felt alone. That nobody understood what I was going through. And yet, there's millions of people in this country that suffer with the same issues. But why did I feel alone? Because nobody was reaching to me. And not only that, but I had so much pride I didn't want to tell anybody that I was struggling. We just went to see a movie called Stronger. Stronger is about the Boston Marathon bombing. One of the people in the crowd lost their legs. Both legs. And this is the story of him. It's a raw and real story. It's amazing to see the struggles that people go through. But he had PTSD. And he did not want to tell anybody about it. And because he didn't want to tell anybody about it, he struggled more. He was hurt. He went down a path of bad things. It ate him up. It consumed him. And if somebody could have reached him, maybe they could have helped him earlier. If somebody could relate, if he would have opened up a door, if that person stepped through that door and said, listen, I understand what you're going through. You don't have to hide this. It doesn't make you any weaker because you're going through this. You can come out of this. When I was going through my anxiety stuff, that was the other thing. I thought I was going to live like that for the rest of my life. That every day I was going to wake up in fear shaking and heart palpitating and like you could die any second. For the rest of my life, I thought that was going to be me. That's pretty scary. Pretty scary. But it doesn't have to always be like that. The struggles are real. There's a hurting world out there. And they need real people talking about real stories. They don't need a fake plastic person, shiny, happy plastic person telling them how their life will just be perfect if they just believe in God. Because when things don't go right, then they're going to say, well, I believed in God, and now things aren't going right. What happens then? Then they don't believe anymore. So I'm not talking about wine. I'm talking about being real with people. Relating to people. And God puts people in our path. God's going to put somebody, because we prayed for it. I believe this. God's going to put somebody in Ruth's daughter's path. And we better be praying that that person is bold enough to be able to step through that door and talk the word of God to her. through a real circumstance, in a loving way, in a real way. And by doing that, we're bringing glory to God. Bringing glory to God. Because He's using our scars, even though we're hurting. We have enough faith out there to say, I went through this. I'm going through that. You may be even in the midst of it. Right? And even if you're in the midst of it, and you're saying to somebody else, like, listen, I'm going through this right now. I'm struggling myself. I'm hurt myself. But I'm not giving up on God. I'm not holding it back. I'm not afraid to ask for prayer. I'm looking to my team to lift me up. Right? And just by them knowing that you can relate to them, it gives relief. One of the biggest things that happened when I was going through my anxiety stuff, and I thought I was all alone and I was the only one going through this and nobody could relate to me, was when my mother came to me and she told me a story about my grandfather. One of the biggest things I felt like I was weak. Like I couldn't, I must be a wimp. I can't deal with life. What's wrong with me? She came to me and she said, you know what? Your grandfather struggled with the same issue. And my grandfather was about as tough as a person I've ever known in my life. He's the type of guy that when he broke his fingers, he said it himself. He's the type of guy that if the doctors told him that he couldn't do something, he was going to go out and do it anyways to prove that he could do it. He was hard. He was hard as nails. He was tough. And by her telling me that story, just that one little story, it alleviated some of that, the extra anxiety I was feeling. I could be like, wow, if he went through that, and I thought he was tough, then I can go through that and still be strong too. And that's what God's doing. God's shaping us. He's forming us. He's putting us through trials. He's allowing things to happen to us. And they're not all good. And they're not all glossy. But they all have purpose. Don't miss the purpose. That whole thing with your son and Michelle and that whole thing, just, it's an incredible testimony of what opening that door, stepping through that door. Yeah, amazing. Amazing good stuff. By doing all this stuff that we're just talking about right now, that example, we're going to help others. We're going to help ourselves, right? That stuff isn't going to fester inside as much. It's not going to destroy us quite the way it could destroy us, right? His purpose, right? God allowed us to go through these events in our lives. He could have stopped them. And sometimes He does. But scars have purpose. And God can turn anything to good. And we're going to believe that with all our heart. I'm going to believe that with all our heart. Yeah, Steve?
Yeah, there's a thing I was reading in this book, too. It talked about being hungry, like we talked about earlier with that prayer that I had for the old one. It says, we are hungry, we are too hungry for you. We are too desperate to hold back now. Father, we draw a line in the sand. We'll never be the same. We are hungry for you and cannot go back. We refuse to retreat to the closet of fear from the place of public passion.
Mm. So who's drawing the line in the sand? Who's ready to step? Right? Things are going to happen this week, I guarantee it. Over the next rest of this year, hang on tight. Doors are going to be open. Are you going to take that step? Or are you going to pull back? Are you going to show God's power? Or are you going to show weakness? The opportunities are coming. Be ready. The world needs us. The world needs us. All right. I'm just going to close with a quick prayer. And then this song now, it's just amazing how God works. I just happened to, I was looking for a different song that dealt with scars. I couldn't find it. I came across this song. This song is perfect. So we're going to listen to another song in a second. But let's just close with a prayer here. Dear Jesus, we just thank you for this day you've given us. We know there's a hurting world out there, and some of us are hurting in here. We know you're going to open doors for us. And we need to step through that door.